Proverbs. We're going to be in chapter 15. Chapter 15. And we're going to talk about money. It's going to be good. We're talking about money. So while you're turning there, though, I saw this video recently. It was really, really interesting. It was really funny. It was about LeBron James, in case you've heard of him. He, when he was a senior in high school, was about to become a pro basketball player, right? Because he went pro at 18. So he's about your age. He was 17 years old, senior in high school, and becoming a pro basketball player, he got a shoe deal, right? So he got a shoe company that wanted to sponsor him. Hey, we want you to wear our shoes. We'll pay you a ton of money if you only wear our shoes. And it was Nike, Reebok, and Adidas that wanted him. And so his first meeting was with Reebok. And here's how they did their pitch. He said this was the best pitch he got, actually. Better than Nike, better than Adidas. He said Reebok was the best pitch. Here's what they did. So him and his mom, right? He's a high schooler. His mom, they're from, you know, lower income family, a single mom. And he sits down and they slide him a check face down. Imagine it's like, you know, they slide him a check and they say, here you go. If you don't talk to Nike or Adidas and you just take our pitch right now, you can have this money. They said, here you go. He takes it, opens it up. $10 million. Senior in high school. And this is in like 2000, you know, whatever, right? Before you were born. So $10 million if you take that deal right now. You don't have to, but if you don't take it now, you're not going to get it. So then he said, all right, time out. Let me talk to my mom. And let me, you know, so LeBron ends up deciding not to take the deal because he was thinking, okay, if Reebok is willing to offer me this much, then maybe Nike and Adidas are going to offer me other deals that are similar amounts of money. And he was right. But $10 million right there. He was like on the way home. I was so sad. Could have had $10 million. And he was like, turned it down. But think about it. $10 million probably could have bought the whole building he was living in, right? He was like crying. You know, imagine this is like, he's basically your age. Could have had it. Didn't want it. And he turned it down, but think about that. Think about it. Someone offering you $10 million. You can have it right there. All you gotta do is just say yes. Everyone has a price, right? A certain amount of money that you would do something for or anything for, right? What if Reebok offered him $15 million or $20 million? Maybe they're probably still thinking about that. The guy who made the offer is probably like, man, we should have offered 15. Should have offered 20. Everyone has a certain amount of money they do anything for. And maybe that's you. Maybe you think, you know what, if someone gave me $100 million or $1 billion, I'd do it. I would sign up for whatever they asked me to do. Everyone's got a price. Now, I want to ask you, if someone slid you a check and said, if you take this money, you don't have to be a Christian anymore, how much would you take to say, you know what, I'll do it. I won't be a Christian. I'll take the money. What would your price be? Would you have one? Would you, in that moment, be able to look at the money, one signature away, and say, you know what, not worth it. I don't want it. And maybe you're thinking, oh, whatever, it doesn't matter, right? It's money, and you know, money can't buy happiness. Well, yeah, okay. I'd rather go to heaven forever than have a certain limited amount of money. Sure. Maybe that's what you're thinking. But what we're looking at today, we're going to talk about money. We're going to talk about loving money and contentment and all these things. And maybe you think, oh, not a big of a deal, right? It's just that's for like really greedy people who are horrible people. Love of money is actually what killed Jesus. I don't know if you think about this. Judas betrayed Jesus because of money. Someone who loved money, that's what ended up leading to Jesus' death. It's a big deal. Judas lived with Jesus for 3 years. And he said, I'd rather have the money than Jesus. So this is a big deal. And what our proverb today is going to show us is that it's better to fear the Lord than to have any amount of money. Okay? So we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 16. Okay? And that's what we're going to see is that it's better to fear the Lord than to be wealthy. Right? Read our verse here. Better is a little, right? This is almost like kind of Yoda language, right? It's a little backward. But better is a little. It's better to have a little and fear the Lord with the fear of the Lord than a great treasure and have trouble with it, right? It's better to have a little bit to be poor and to fear God. And we talked about this for a few weeks now, but what fearing the Lord, what does that mean? Fearing the Lord means I let God be God and I let me be me. I don't try to be God. I don't say I'm cool without God. I'm not independent from God. I need God so badly. And in a sense, I fear him because I worship him. I respect him. He's God. He's amazing. He's incredible. And I'm just me. Right, that's what it means to fear God. Is God is God and I'm not. It's better to be poor and feel that way about God than to have a ton of money because, like we said in our title, usually more money means more problems. Right, but again, maybe you're out there, oh, whatever. Why? I wouldn't trade Jesus for money. I wouldn't trade God for money. I wouldn't trade heaven for money. People do it all the time. It's more subtle than you might think. And I want to warn you and protect you from that. So our first point tonight is beware the danger of loving the world. Beware the danger of loving the world. It's not really about money, right? Money, no one's like worshiping money. No one's like got a dollar bill up in their house and like bowing down to it, right? People aren't worshiping money. People aren't like, you know, see the movies or whatever where they got their pile of cash and they're like rolling around in it and like, oh, I'm so happy, I love it, right? No one's doing that, right? People aren't loving money like that. But a lot of times the problem or the what people love is not money, it's what money can get them, right? You ever heard that? Money can't buy happiness, but it can buy things that make you happy, right? I've heard people say that. There's a country song about that. It's kind of a funny song, but he basically says, money might be bad for you, but it can get me a lot of cool stuff. The song's called Buy Me a Boat, right? And the song's called, I could buy a boat if I had a lot of money. So maybe it's not that you love money, but you love the things money can get you, right? Money promises a lot of things to you. Money has offers it makes you, right? Money says you can be secure. You can have all your needs met. You won't need anything else. You won't have to work. You won't have to worry about what happens if bad things happen. Right? This is how people sell you insurance. They say, what if this happens? What if you get hit by a tornado? What if you get in a car accident? What if you have a bad diagnosis and you get sick? What if you have a baby, right? You need insurance. Hospitals charge like your whole bank account, right? You need insurance. So this is how they get you. They say you're unsafe unless you have money. So money doesn't just offer you dollar signs, it offers you security, or maybe it offers you control. You think, oh, if I have money, I can live the life I want to live. If I have a lot of money, I can do the things I wanna do. If I have a lot of money, I can be in control of my circumstances. I won't be anxious anymore, I'll be worried. I won't be worried about how my life's gonna go or what's gonna happen or what the future is gonna look like or what kind of career I have to have because I have money, so I am safe. I'm in control. I get to make the decisions. Or maybe money is offering you importance. If I have a lot of money, I'm cool. I'm important. People respect me. People like me. People want to be friends with me. People want to come to my house and hang out because I got all the cool stuff. So maybe it's not just money. Maybe it's things. And they promise you importance or acceptance. Or they promise you that people will like you. People want to ride in your car if you have a nice car. People want to talk to you if you look like you have it all together, right? You got cool clothes. People want to hang out with you now. Or maybe money is just promising you fun. Like, if I had a lot of money, I could have a lot of fun. I could enjoy life. I'd be so much happier if I had a lot of money. So it's not just about the money. It's about what does money offer you? And really, what money is trying to do is money shows you your heart. Right? Money shows you what you care about, what you love. And that's why this point is really not about where you spend your money, but about where your heart is, right? Beware the danger of loving the world, right? This is a desire-driven point, right? It's a love point. It's not a spend point or a save point or a give point or a be generous point. It's a love point. Because what money shows you is your heart. So Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you want to know what you love, show me what's important to you. And that's what you love. And so maybe you're pursuing those things that we talked about that money's promising you. You're like, oh, I'm not pursuing money. I don't want a lot of money, but I want to be accepted by people. So I want to fit in and have the nice things that my friends have or the people at school have. So it's not that you want money, but you use money to get what you really want, which is people to like you, people to think you're important, respect maybe. Or, oh, well, I don't want money. I want to feel like, I want to feel safe. And so you're using money to get what you really want. And that's part of loving the world. One way that you can ask yourself, do I love the world, is how do I feel when I lose things? Sometimes it's not, oh, I just really think about all the time, I really want this. Or maybe you're not like that. Maybe you're not thinking, oh, I'm not super greedy. I'm not out there like wanting, you know, I'm not out there scrolling through Instagram looking at super nice cars or nice houses or whatever. Maybe you are, maybe that's you, right? Maybe you're coveting, and maybe your phone or your computer is just a way for you to covet and envy people. Maybe that's what it is. But maybe you're like, oh, it's not really about, I don't want a lot of money. I just want enough money. And maybe that means you love the world. It might. Because if you lose it, it would hurt. It would hurt you way too much. And that's one way you know you love something too much, is if it's hard for you to lose it, hard for you to give it away, hard for you to let someone borrow it. All right, so how do you react when you lose things? That'll show you if you love it too much. There is a book I read about contentment that was really good. One thing he said, if your heart is glued to the things of the world. So imagine your heart is like a piece of paper, and you know, like sometimes people glue paper to the wall they're not supposed to, and then you have to take the paper off, right? If your heart is glued to the things of the world, it will tear when they're taken away, right? Imagine a piece of paper, and it gets ripped, right? Because the part of the paper stays stuck to the glue, and the rest of the paper comes off, right? If your heart is glued to the world, when you lose possessions, when you lose opportunities, when you lose maybe friendships, worldly friendships, your heart tears, right? You're heartbroken, right? Maybe not romantically, but, oh, someone ruined your favorite clothes, or you lost your favorite possession, or someone broke your favorite game. Maybe that means you love the world. Or maybe it's not the things, maybe it's the opportunities, right? Oh, you missed out on the opportunity to date that person. You missed out on the opportunity to go to that school. You missed out on the opportunity to be good at that sport, for those people to like you, to be friends with those people, to be at those parties. And maybe you're missing out on those things because you're a good kid or your parents make you, and your heart is broken, it's tearing. It's because you love the world. If your heart is glued to the world, when you lose those things and you miss out on those things, it breaks, it tears. And that's one way you can see, do I love the world, is what happens when I miss out on what the world offers? Because of my parents, or because I'm a Christian, or because I just missed out on them, or because the world stinks, and sometimes you just miss out on things because the world's not gonna satisfy you. But another way you can see that is what occupies your resources. Right? Think about your resources, right? You've got time, you've got attention, you have effort, you have energy, you have even like concern, that's a resource, right? You can't be concerned about a ton of other things. You can only be concerned about a few things a lot. You have these resources, how do you spend them, right? Think about, you pay attention. We talked about that before, but attention is something you give, right? You have a limited amount of attention. What do you give it to? Do you give it to the world? Are you constantly occupied by worldly thoughts? Like, oh, what am I, how is my test gonna go? Or what if I have a bad teacher? Or how's my homework? Or what if these people don't like me? Or are you thinking about things that are not from the world, but from God, right? How can I serve these people? How can I honor God in this situation? What promises does God give me about this type of thing I'm working through? So what occupies your resources, your time, your effort, your energy, even your money, right? What you spend your money on, if you have a job or you have an allowance, what you spend your money on, is it on yourself? Is it on others? Do you give from your money? Are you generous with your money? That says a lot about what you care about, what you love. Right, your resources, whether it's your time, your effort, your energy, your money, those show off what you really care about. And that's what I want you to see. It's not really about the money, it's about your heart, right? Money is just a window into your heart. And that's why it matters so much. But the thing with loving the world is it doesn't feel dangerous, right? It feels normal. Because everyone loves the world. The world loves the world, right? You're in the world. Everyone loves the world, right? Have you ever wondered, like, does a fish feel wet? No, right? Fish don't feel wet because they're always in the water, right? Just like you only feel dry after you've been in the water, right? You don't feel dry unless you've been wet, right? Or like, what do you know, how does that work, right? Do fish even notice that they're in water, or do they notice when they're out of the water and they're in air, right? They notice probably that they're in the air, not that they're in the water. Whereas you notice you're in the water, you don't notice that you're in the air, right? Not you're not flying, but you know what I mean, right? The point is, right, you're in the world, and everyone at your school probably loves the world, and the people maybe you see online love the world, the videos you watch, those people love the world. And so it's easy to love the world because everyone's doing it, right? Loving the world doesn't feel dangerous, it feels normal. And there's a lot of things that the world offers you, and there's even the way the world thinks about things, the values the world has, that are normal because that's how the world works, right? Loving the world also it means you kind of adopt the world's value system. You start thinking, oh, that's important because everyone else thinks it's important, right? Or you start to feel at home in the world, right? I'll give you an example. It's funny when you think about when Shay and I were planning our wedding, we realized that there's a lot of things people do at weddings that they just do them because everyone else does them. You know, there's just a lot of things that happen at weddings, and you're like, why do we do this? I don't know, because I saw it on Instagram, or because this is how it works, or because this is the way it is. And you just start doing it because it's normal. And so what we did is we were like, okay, if we're going to do something at our wedding, right? It's like one of the most important days in our lives. We want to do it on purpose, right? We don't just do it because, well, someone else did it and it was cool. We want to do it for a good reason. And I think as a Christian, when you see the world doing stuff, like maybe everyone's watching a show, or everyone's going to go see that movie, right? You don't want to just be like, well, okay, cool, I'll go. You want to ask, why should I do this? Right? Am I honoring God by doing this? You don't want to just do it because everyone else is doing it, right? For example, if everyone in your small group decided to bleach their hair, you would want to ask, well, why am I doing this? Right? Just hypothetically, imagine, right? Just imagine. Imagine everyone in your small group was like, oh, yeah, guys, let's bleach our hair. It'll be so cool. I'll look tough. Yeah, let's do it, right? You want to ask yourself, why? Am I just doing this because everyone else is doing it? Again, this is totally hypothetical, right? I don't know why anyone would do this, but just imagine for a second that someone would do that, right? But the whole point of that, right, is you don't want to do something just because everyone else, right? So if all your friends jump off a bridge, you jump too, right? Okay, well, I would jump because I wouldn't have any friends, Dad. Duh. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. That's not what you're supposed to say. Don't say that. But the whole idea is if everyone around you loves the world and you feel comfortable there, that probably means you love the world too. If you feel at home with everyone else loving the world, right? You know the phrase fish out of water, right? The whole point is the fish is at home in the water, so it feels out of place out of the water. If you're a Christian, you should feel out of place in the world. You should expect to be like, oh, I don't really like that. The world wants to do that. They want to watch that show. They care about doing those type of things. They want to feel that way. They react to things this way. You should start thinking, well, I don't feel like doing that. I feel differently. I don't like the same things they like. If you love the world, you're going to be like, oh yeah, that's great. I love that. I love the same shows everyone else loves. I love the same videos everyone else wants to watch. I love doing the same things everyone wants to do. I love making the same jokes everyone wants to make. I think they're funny. I think they're hilarious. It's what I do. That's because you love the world. And if you love the world, you are going to adopt the world's value system, and the world runs on money, right? What the world places value on are the things that are the most expensive. That's how money works, right? Money is just a placeholder for value, right? The world thinks something's really important. It makes it really expensive, right? Like flying to places, right? On a plane. Like the only way you can fly is if you do this. So you have to be able to do it. Or like think about sport. We were talking about the sports tickets earlier. Like why are World Cup tickets so expensive? Because they know you're gonna have to buy them if you wanna go. So they charge the price a ton, right? If you love the world, you will be a slave to money because you need money to participate in the world. you need money to do the things the world wants you to do, right? You need money to go on the cool vacations or to have the great career or to be in the places or to dress the way the world wants you to dress, right? So you will be a slave to money because you'll be following the desires of the world if you love the world. It's kind of like, remember Pastor PJ preached on the four soils, right? He talked about the third soil, where it gets choked out by the cares of the world, right? If you want to follow Jesus and you also want to love the world, you're going to find yourself pulled in two different directions. Because those trains are going different ways, right? You're not going to be able to stay on one or the other. You're not going to be able to stay on both. You're going to have to pick one because they go different ways. If you love the world, you're not going to be able to follow Jesus very long, because as soon as you hear something that Jesus says that you don't like, because Jesus is the opposite of the world, you're going to bail on Jesus. And maybe that's why it's hard for you to do Christian things, is because you actually have a lot of love for the world in your heart. And so when Jesus says, I want you to live my way, you're like, I don't like that. It doesn't sound good. You're asking too much of me. And it's not that his standard's too high, it's that you love the world. And so as soon as he attacks the things you love, it feels like an attack, but it's really him saying, I love you and this is what's best for you and I care about you. And I don't want you to be in love with something that's gonna let you down. But back in our verse, we talk about how this is a love battle, right? This isn't a effort battle, right? I just gotta try really hard not to love money and love the world. It's a desire battle, it's a love battle. And that key word here is better, right? Not smarter, not, right? There's a lot of things that could have been true here, right? Could have said it's smarter to fear the Lord than to have a lot of money, right? Or it's better for you, you know, like it's better for your, it's like healthier, right? And he says better in like a qualitative sense. It's like it's more enjoyable. It brings you more happiness. It makes you happier to fear the Lord than to have a lot of money. I mean, saying yes to something is always better than saying no to something. You notice that? Like when you're trying to do something that's hard, it's better if you're saying yes to something than saying no to something, right? Like let's say you want to work out, or you want to be really good at your sport, or you want to be really, really good at your instrument or whatever. It's better to say yes to being good than saying no to being bad, right? If your whole motive is, I just don't want to be bad and like let my coach down, it'll kind of work, but you won't get that good at it, right? But if your motive is, I just love doing this, so we talked about last week, right? Don't love your job your love, right? That thing, whatever that means. It's better to say yes to something than to say no to something, right? Saying no to stuff only gets you so far. Saying yes to things is really the secret to being good at something, right? And the same thing is true here. You have to believe that it's better. If all you think of is, oh, well, if I love the world, it's gonna be bad for me. If I love the world, it's gonna be bad for me. That'll help a little bit. But unless you think it's actually better to fear the Lord, unless you're like, I love to fear the Lord, I love Jesus, you're not gonna get very far. And so our second point is believe Jesus is better than anything. Part of this is a value statement, right? Better means more enjoyable, but also means more valuable, right? Jesus is more valuable to me than money. I don't know if you've thought about this, but when you don't buy something, essentially what you're saying is that's not worth it, right? Maybe you have, maybe that's obvious to you. It wasn't super obvious to me until today for some reason, but maybe you're smarter than me. But when you don't buy something, you're saying that's not worth it, right? Because you have the money. I'm assuming you have enough money to buy it. Maybe you don't, maybe you just go into debt and buy it, which, pro tip, if you don't have money, don't buy something. Pro tip. If you can't afford it, don't pay for it. Pro tip. You'd be surprised. The reason I thought about this, I was thinking about Five Guys. I was thinking about how I never go to Five Guys. And it's not because I don't like Five Guys. Every time I've been to Five Guys, I've enjoyed it. I thought the burger was good. It's cool if they give you free peanuts. I just had a good experience. It's clean. I wouldn't be like, oh, it was horrible, right? I've been to burger places and it was really bad. It's not that I don't like Five Guys, it's just not worth it. I had to like take out a student loan to go to Five Guys. It was terrible. It's so much money. And you could just go to In-N-Out, right? Like, why would you ever go to Five Guys when you go to In-N-Out? That's kind of the way I think about it. There's nothing wrong with Five Guys. I don't mind Five Guys. It's good. I've enjoyed it, but just not worth it. And so I never go. Maybe that's you, and that's why you don't love Jesus. You're like, oh, Jesus is cool. I like him. It's kind of like Five Guys, but not worth it. Maybe that's you, because you don't actually believe that Jesus is better. You think he's all right. You think he's decent. You think he's okay. You like church. You like God. You like the Bible, but you also really like the other stuff more. You're not opposing God. That's what you think, at least. But just not worth it, right? Now, if In-N-Out costs as much as Five Guys, and Five Guys costs as much as In-N-Out, then we'd really be in a predicament, right? Because then I'd be like, I really want to go to In-N-Out because it's way better than Five Guys, but it's also more expensive, right? But because it's the opposite, that's where it gets tricky. So maybe that's you. Maybe you're like, oh, well, you know what? If Jesus was cheaper, he didn't ask as much of me, I would follow him. But he asked a lot, not worth it. My whole life, die to yourself, deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me, not worth it. If it was lower bar, I'd do it. And maybe that's you. In our proverb that we're looking at, right, it says, better is a little with fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it, right? But sometimes I think we say, well, okay, can't I like have God and also like have enough money? Right? Maybe you're like, well, because think about it this way. If the only way to be a Christian was to be poor, would you do it? If the only way to be a Christian was what Jesus said to the rich young ruler, sell everything you own, come follow me. Would you do it? Right? Say bye to your Nintendo Switch. Say bye to your e-bike. Say bye to your car. Say bye to almost all your clothes. Say bye to your phone. Would you do it? Because I think what we say is, Jesus, I'll follow you as long as you give me enough money. As long as you give me my standard of living. And that's really just us not thinking he's worth it. That's really just unbelief. Jesus, you won't take care of me. Because we're trying to hold on to, well, Jesus, you can have most of my money, but not all of my money. Right? You can be in control of most of my life, but not all of my life. And something else that I want you to be aware of too, is don't believe Jesus is better because he's more useful to you than money. Because I think when we start talking about money and Jesus, you can say, well, duh, I wouldn't trade Jesus for money because then I'd be going to hell. And it's really not about Jesus, it's about not going to hell. And that's not what we're here for. Right? If you're saying, well, yeah, I wouldn't trade Jesus for money because I don't want to spend forever in hell, that's not the point of this sermon. The point of this sermon is not, oh yeah, being rich and going to hell is bad, but being poor and going to heaven is good. That's not the point of the sermon. The point of the sermon is that Jesus is better than any amount of money you can ever have. And also, having Jesus and having zero money is way better than anything else either. That's the point. The point is not, well, yeah, I don't want to go to hell, so of course I wouldn't pick money over Jesus. That's not the point. Because if all you want is Jesus to be useful to you, to get you what you want, who's your God? You are. Because you just want Jesus to make you feel good. You just want Jesus to keep you safe. You just want Jesus to take away your anxiety. You just want Jesus to accomplish your plans. That's you using Jesus. That's not you worshiping Jesus. So this is not just Jesus is more useful to me than money, but Jesus is better than what money can get me. Having Jesus is better than what I can get from having money. The opposite, right, of this sometimes isn't that, oh, I have a lot of money and I forget about Jesus. Sometimes it's I don't have much and I hate it. And maybe that's you. Maybe you're like, Lewis, I don't have a job. My parents don't give me an allowance. I don't have any money. This sermon doesn't apply to me at all. Well, it really does, because it's not about the money, right? Maybe it's you really wish you had the money, but you don't really wish you had Jesus, right? Discontentment and grumbling are signs of an empty heart, right? It's a sign of, I don't have what I want. I need it. And I'm not, Jesus isn't good enough for me, right? If you're a Christian and you're grumbling, you're complaining, you're saying, what God gave me isn't good enough. I need more. Right? Grumbling really is kind of rebellion against God. Right? So if you're someone who finds yourself complaining a lot and grumbling a lot, I would say that's a really warning sign for you. Because you're telling God, God, I need something that you haven't given me, and I know better than you, and I need it to make me happy. And you can't make me happy. I need you to give me other stuff to make me happy. It's really what you're saying. Is if I don't have this, I won't be happy. Right? If you're only content, if you're only happy when God's desires align with your desires, you're not gonna be very happy. Right? If you only want to follow God when God works out for you on your schedule, your timetable, what your plans are, it's not gonna go very well for you. Because that's I'll follow God on my terms, not his. Right? And that's not what we're after here, right? We're after following God on his terms because he's better. He's wiser. He loves me and knows me. And so I want to follow him his way rather than my way. But your money and your heart are connected, right? Hopefully you've seen that so far. But not just your money and your heart, but also your money and your concern, what you care about, right? So our third point is to be worried about the right things. Be worried about the right things. And maybe you didn't expect to talk about what you're worried about, and it's something about money. But Jesus does. When he talks about your money, he talks about what you're worried about. And so really what your money does is show you what you care about, right? And that's what Jesus says in Matthew 6. Okay, I'll put it on the screen for you. In Matthew 6, he says, where your treasure is, right? And that's money. What you think is important, there your heart will be also. So your treasure is a magnet for your heart. Think of it like that. What you think is important, your heart's gonna follow that, okay? If you think you're important, your heart's gonna be about you, right? If you think people's approval is important, that's where your heart's gonna go. Then he starts talking about your eye, which is weird, right? Because it's like, what does it have to do with this? Is it just saying random stuff, or how does this work? Well, okay, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of your body. So think of it this way. Your eye, that's what you take in, right? What I'm looking at, that's what I'm taking in, that's what I'm putting my attention towards, right? Eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. So if you're putting your attention on things that are good for you, that is good for you, right? If you put your attention on things that are bad for you, that's not good for you, right? If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So where you put your attention affects you, it changes you. You become what you put your attention on. That's what Jesus is saying. If the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness, right? Again, big deal, where you put your attention, your focus. Then Jesus starts talking about money again. Next verse, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for evil. He will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. So basically, if you try to serve two masters, you won't. You'll start liking one more, and then you'll start hating the other one. You cannot serve God and money. So he talked about where your treasure is and your heart. Then he talked about your attention, what you're thinking about, what you're putting your eye on. And then he talks about money again. So clearly Jesus thinks these two things are connected. What you're worried about, what you're concerned about, and your money. And that's because your money is how you show what you care about. You ever heard the phrase, put your money where your mouth is? What Jesus is saying is you put your money where your worry is. Because what are you talking about after this? He talks about anxiety, verse 25. Therefore, don't be anxious, right? You put your money with what you're worried about, right? People are worried about their safety. They pay tons of money for security systems. People are worried about relationships. They spend a ton of money on connections, right? Phones, computers, Wi-Fi, right? People are worried about traveling. They spend a ton of money on vehicles, right? People are worried about having fun. They spend a ton of money on vacations and things like that, right? You put your money with what you're worried about. So that's why your concern, what you're worried about, is really going to follow your, it's really going to show you where your heart is. So I want to ask you, what's it easy for you to worry about? What's it easy for you to think about? That's where your heart is. Because that's what you're worried about. That's what you're concerned about. And that has everything to do with your money. Because what's it easy for you to spend your money on? What you're worried about. What you're thinking about. So it's the same thing. They're all connected. Your money and how you pursue your money shows who your master is, right? Who you're serving. You're serving you, you're serving God. So I hope from this sermon, hopefully you've understood that money isn't about money. The point of money is to show that God is better than money, right? God doesn't really care how much money you have. He cares about how much of your heart money has, right? God doesn't really care about how much money you have. There's a lot of rich people in the Bible that are righteous, that are following the Lord faithfully. But he cares about how much of your heart your money has, how much of your heart the world has. That's really why your money matters, because it shows you your heart. Let's pray. We'll talk about that more in small groups. God, we know that you are worth more than everything. In Philippians 3, Paul says that he has come to know the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus, that knowing Jesus is better than everything else. And so I pray that you help us to love you, not just to think you're important, but to live like you're important and to believe it for ourselves, not just in our heads, but in our hearts. And I pray that you protect us from loving the world. I pray that you help us to see how dangerous and even subtle it can be to give our heart away to the world. And I pray that you help us to use our money to show you that you're valuable. I pray that you help us to be generous with our money. Help us to be open and not stingy and holding on to our money, but rather be willing to use it for you, to glorify you, to love others, and for your purposes, not ours. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.